Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, you are about to listen to the first in the fifth series of Rich Chang's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. As always, it's free on iTunes and the British Comedy Guide, but there's lots of ways to contribute if you would like to pay. You can go to gofasterstripe.com and download the video and see what was going on as well as hearing it. Also, though, if you go to gofasterstripe.com/RHMOL, there's a chance to contribute in a different way. You can just give some money if you want to, whatever you want. You'll be sent a badge in return. If you send a pound, you get a badge saying, I paid a pound, plus package and posting. If you pay more than a pound, you get a badge saying, I paid more than a pound. It's simple. Or you can donate some money every month. If everyone who listened to this donated just a pound a year, to be honest, we'd be able to make all kinds of other comedy. All the money we make from that badge system will go into making other shows. And we're hoping to do a video version of As It Occurs to Me, but we'd need about 50,000 of you to donate a pound to make that happen. So if you want to give some money back to the show, then do go to gofasterstripe.com/RHMOL and donate, or just buy something from gofasterstripe.com, or come and see me on tour in We're All Going to Die. Go to richardherring.com and click on the picture of me coming out of a grave, and you can see if I'm coming near to you. Thanks for listening. Here it comes. Exciting, isn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who's never had a fifth series of anything before, but is now his own commissioning editor. Will you please welcome Richard Herring? Oh, yeah, I'm back. Should have killed me last year. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Or as all the cool kids are calling it, Rahelestapa. Oh, God, they're so cool. There they are. That's how cool they are. It's the same. I don't know why I'm bothering filming you, because you're all the same people. There's the butlers, there's old Tackline, he's the nuclear physicist. Who's that? There's someone, she's new. I think it's a girl. It's very dark back there. It's got not really picking you up, unfortunately, because you're sitting in the darkness. What's your name? Sarah, hello. That's not... Very excited to be on. Do you want to lift your top up for the people? Are you that excited? Is it a dress? Take it down. It seems not. Sorry for the subscribers there. The video subscribers got slightly excited. Quite a lot of men unbuttoning their, taking their belt off. It's happening. It's happening. Finally, there's some porn. It's great to be back. It's kind of confusing. Yesterday, I'm doing a new series called Richard Herring's Meaning of Life. So even when I came on, I nearly said the wrong title just now, which is coming out monthly. The first one should be out very soon. That's a kind of stand-up show that I'm doing now that's going out for free, but you can also subscribe to it. I'll talk about that later. There's lots of different ways people who are at home who aren't paying anything can pay a little bit if they want to. But it's nice to be back doing the Leicester Square Theatre podcast. The last one with Stephen Merchant thought went a bit weird, so I'm hoping I'm not sure we're friends anymore. I didn't really quite twig that he was genuinely slightly pissed off with me until a little bit too late on. I think we're okay. John Mayer, is that a person? Is John Mayer, he's a musician, right? He goes out with Katy Perry. That is John Mayer. He was there. He was friends with Stephen Merchant. Now I'm going to say this story. Now Stephen Merchant won't be friends with me. And he came in and said, "It's all right. It was really good. And Stephen Merchant was like, "Oh, I'm not sure." So hopefully John Mayer. I've met two people who've had been inside Katy Perry now. At least. Which is at least two. Rule of three. Could be me next. That's what I'm thinking. Is that like a Kevin Bacon thing? I haven't been in Kevin Bacon. I wouldn't mind. Now he's done those adverts, I'd be a bit embarrassed. It's just slightly demeaning, isn't it? Slightly embarrassed. That's a no-brainer. So I've failed. Good news for fans of As It Occurs to Me is Dan Tetzel, who plays Tiny Andrew Collings and various other people, just got married at the weekend. He got married on St. Skeletor's Day, which is the 15th of February. It's a day dedicated to the destruction of love. So only Dan Tetzel could do that. I'm kind of feeling like I might do more As It Occurs to Me. But that is one of the things. Hey, Ottoman, that's why I didn't say it. I was the only one who shouted about how soon they forget. That's one of the things I kind of want to do. To film it and do sketches and stuff like that, but that obviously costs money. So the thing we're doing with Meaning of Life, which I'll quickly explain, is that it'd be just great. About 150,000 people download this podcast for the free audio version of it. If they all would give me £1, I could do like some amazing things. If you think the 34 episodes we've had so far are worth £1. It'd be terrific if you could donate £1. And if you go to www.gofasterstripe.com/RHMOL, you can donate a little bit of money, whatever you want to donate, and you get a badge in return. I paid £1. There it is. Yeah, pick that up from the back. I'll put it there. There it is. That's good. That's work. If you're a bit more generous, you can donate £1 a month or more than £1 a month, and you get that badge there. And we're going to set up a channel with some extra stuff for people who subscribe. So if you all do that, I might do more As It Occurs to Me. That's the deal. If not, then it'll be used to fund these other things as well. It'll be exciting if we do it. It'll be good if it works out. It won't work out. We haven't raised enough to pay for the badges. It was Valentine's Day last week on Friday. It was the 7th Valentine's Day I've shared with my wife. 64 Ferrero Rochers. It's going to get difficult soon. If you watch the third episode of Meaning of Life, or What is Love Anyway, my DVD, that'll make sense. Available on Netflix now for free. It says Marries. I thought it was going to be something else. I've been skiing. That's what I've done for the first time in my life. I went skiing to the end of last month. I did it because my wife wanted to go, and that's what happens. You get married, you have to do stuff. Never get married. It's not likely to happen. I'll just explain that to the people. So that's not... Are you married? It's never going to happen. Get a pet or something. No. Abduct a child. And pretend it's yours. You can't even see him. I don't want to go, ah. If you could see him, you go, oh, yeah, fair enough. That's fair enough. There's someone out there for everyone. There is. Grow up. Because I was married, so don't get married, because I had to go skiing, and I didn't want to go skiing, and I didn't like skiing, and I had to do it for a week. And I could ski by the end of the week, which I was quite surprised about. But the worst thing about I can't believe anyone likes skiing. Does anyone go skiing here? Of course you don't, you're my fans. Anyone go skiing? Yeah, you go skiing. You don't like it, though, do you? You just pretend. It hurts. It's very painful. You've got these boots on, they're very painful. I had to walk 15 minutes from the ski shop to the slopes wearing these stupid RoboCop kind of boots that you have to walk like that with. And they're pressing and they're hurting my ankles. I had my skis over my shoulder. I felt like Jesus, I realised, going up the hill to Calvary. And like Jesus, I realised that what I was going to experience was much worse than what was happening right now. But I have to say, after 3 or 4 days of doing this, and then actually getting to return the skis and all the equipment and not having to wear the boots anymore, not having to carry the stuff around, was such a relief that the ecstasy I felt once it was over made it worthwhile. It's kind of, you went through... And I think that's the only reason anyone goes skiing. It's horrible, it's painful, you fall over, and then it stops. And it's just the best feeling ever. So we might talk about it. We'll see. I might ask people about what they've done the first time this year. I was on Sunday brunch. Anyone catch me on the... Yeah. Oh, quite a lot. More than I thought. I was on Sunday brunch with Tim Lovejoy and Simon Rimmer. Bet he got teased at school, hey? Hey? He's got the same name as the character from Red Dwarf. That is why. It was quite surreal. It's quite a surreal programme. I think they copied the idea off This Morning with Richard, Not Judy. It's very similar. Just added some cooking and took out the Curious Orange. Just two men talking quite inanely. But I think they are quite respected. And they kind of said... They were talking about, it felt like about 5 minutes, about what age a child has to be before you can teach them how to make a cup of tea. Which I would have said, that's a one-second conversation. And they really stretched it out. And then I went, is this happening? Thought you were going to talk to me, what the hell's going on? And then afterwards, going, yeah, we do this on purpose. We deliberately try and talk about the most boring thing for as long as we can. But I did... They did a good interview. I enjoyed meeting them, but I think I slightly blew their minds when I told them that the atoms that made them up were formed in the crucible of exploding stars. I think that was too early on a Sunday morning for them. Anyway, look, I think we're going to crack on. Have you noticed this that I'm wearing? See, and look, there's some mugs as well. I'm not just trying to sell stuff. Well done, that's very weak. That you can go to richardherring.cottoncart.com and you can buy. I'm going to wear one of these every week until you all buy them. For the people listening on audio, that's not going to mean anything. Let's face it, if you're watching at home and you've paid for this, don't buy a T-shirt. I don't get any of the money from this. I don't know why I'm pushing it at all. Anyway, look, we're going to crack straight on. We've got a fantastic first guest for the first in the series. He's probably best known for appearing on Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. That's where you've probably seen him before. Although we're only on audio. So will you please welcome the fantastic Adam Buxton, ladies and gentlemen. Adam has a train to catch, so he is literally.
I'm going to have to leave the stage at exactly quarter to nine. I will get on the pink Brompton.
It's nice. Pink's an interesting choice.
The lady in the shop where I bought it said. You know that pink is a woman's colour. Which I thought was sort of retrograde. That seemed strange. It's like, Well, it's just a colour. It's a fun colour.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go for black. I thought that would be too lame. I like to be brightly coloured. And also I thought maybe it would reduce the chances of it getting pinched. What do you reckon?
I think you might be right. It's also a homosexual colour. You could have pointed out.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And I like to think of myself as homosexual. You know what I mean?
How does your wife feel like about
it? If I wasn't straight, I definitely would be homosexual. That's how I feel. Like, I'm strongly pro.
You're not cycling back to Norwich on that, though.
Yeah, boy. Well, I mean, there's a train journey in between.
Yeah.
But yeah, Liverpool Street, and then quite a long haul from Norwich Station back to my country palace.
Yes.
Down some pretty bumpy roads. I mean, the Brompton, as good as it is, I would say is not designed for the kind of terrain I will be negotiating this evening by moonlight. No. But it's I think it's a full moon tonight, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah. So I'm gonna. Yeah. Sorry, I'm beginning to transform. I'm going to get pretty wasted on the train.
Yeah.
And then and then wobble back home. I won't be putting anyone else in danger because there's very few people on the roads at that time.
Okay.
So it's all good. I've thought of every angle.
All the Norwich children.
It's nice to be back.
Hey, it's great to have
Thank
you back.
So
You're the
much.
First ever returning.
I know, and it's a big deal.
I'm a
genuine fan of the podcast, and I'd only listened to like one when I came on last time, I think. And I've listened to all of them now.
Oh, good.
Just catching up, actually. The last one was Miranda Hart that I was listening to. Very enjoyable.
They're all the same, really. You've
not
noticed.
Really. I mean, not all of them are as uncomfortable as the Stephen Merchant one. Some of them are more
we
easygoing.
Actually edited some of it out. Of the
Did you? Jesus Christ. No, I mean, I'm joking because I felt like a lot of the discomfort was in your mind.
No, it wasn't.
Are you sure? The thing that
I
happened,
didn't realise till right at the end.
I thought we were joshing
along,
yeah.
Which we were, I think, for most of it.
If listeners, if you haven't for some reason heard it, just to recap, you were sort of needling him about the second series of extras, right?
I was trying to get to the crux of, I was trying to ask some. But I think the thing that upset him was it's fucking Ben Evans' fault, that little dick who set some of my questions, little Welsh boy, and he asked about the Barclays advert, and then I did read that in a slightly sarcastic way.
Yeah.
But I think then he thought I was having to go at him over that, and I wasn't really.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to sell your soul like that, because now I'm worried. I'm going to do it to all of my guests. We might not be friends after this if I start.
Oh, shit. What have you got in your evil book?
I've got. So you have had sex with a dog.
Hey,
that's why I'm
just.
That is,
it was
just
absolutely consensual, and she was definitely overage.
She over 16.
Yeah. So
it's a really old dog.
That.
Though. If the dog is over 16, that is an ancient dog, isn't it? They don't know what they're doing. We're dogs, it's just got to be over 3 or 4.
She, I mean, she could barely move, but listen, I don't want Operation Yew-tree to come. What? This is a strange kind of kids show joke, isn't it?
It would be
Operation Yew-tree.
The odd people from Operation Yew-tree would arrive and then the dog would wee on them. That's what would happen. Yeah. Oh, come on, that was better than that deserve. I should have got more. Well, talking of that, we did talk about, we won't talk about it too much this time.
Mm.
You must have been delighted to hear what happened to Rolf Harris recently.
That's right.
Did you ring up Joe and go, you're vindicated, Joe?
Yeah. Absolutely. You should now insist that you get a letter of apology in return.
Yeah.
Because Joe had to write to Roffle, of course.
Yeah.
that's his proper name. For using the word autistic about him in a disrespectful way. Then it turned out that was the least of Roffle's problems.
Now, I should point out that Rolf Harris is guilty until proven a celebrity. So then it is that... Sorry, he's innocent until proven guilty. So that is... We don't...
Did you see the Jim Davidson show the other night?
Yeah, why suddenly bring up Jim Davidson?
Well... I mean, he had a scrape with...
He did have a scrape. He had a scrape.
...with the U-tree and escaped the shadow of the U-tree successfully. And that, in a way, seemed to be like the making of him in his dotage.
Yeah. He's back, yeah. It's kind of... It's a gamble you're playing.
Yeah.
One way and the other.
And how great that that smear is no longer associated with him, because he seems like a terrific guy.
Before, like a couple of years ago, he started tweeting me. So he's on Twitter.
Right.
I think he was on for a little bit. He started tweeting me, and before he was on either the Big Brother or the law courts, I kind of thought he would be quite an interesting guest to have on. But now I think it would be a bit weird.
I think
so.
You're right.
In a way, he's had a new success and a new lease of life. That's the positive. But on the downside, he's not going to be asked on this show now. So when you balance those two things up, I think Jim will be quite upset.
I would imagine
about that. I was going to get you some flowers, but then I couldn't be bothered.
So listen, tell me seriously. And yeah. this is a reference to the fact that when Rich was in Edinburgh last year, I was also going to be there. And I think I read that you were. I read that you were going to be there, obviously, and I suddenly thought I got overwhelmed with a kind of like half a fan and half friendly urge to show my support, and so I sent Rich flowers, and they were in his dressing room on his first night, and I think it was because I went to Edinburgh once years ago in 2005, and my agent got me flowers,
right.
And it really was exciting. I really felt like. Wow, this is it, man. I'm in a dressing room. I'm going to do a show. I've got flowers for my agent. I'm the king of the world. So I wanted to show you how that felt.
Yeah. I just felt slightly creeped out.
Yeah.
It made the first show just slightly... everyone was a bit... You could see I was unsettled.
Yeah.
What's going on? Something's happened.
Well, immediately... I mean, I did it quite late at night. I made all the arrangements when I'd had wine. And then in the morning, I thought... Wow, maybe that is a bit of a weird thing to do because I mean, I know you a little bit, but not that well. And yes, I don't know that it's entirely cool.
Yeah, it was very nice. It was nice, and I don't think a man has ever sent me flowers before.
Right.
Certainly one who owned, if I knew you owned a pink bike at that stage, that would have skewed it even further into confusing territory for me. No, it was very nice. It was very nice. And I felt I should do the same. But then I ran in today, supposedly. I was going to try running from home and I had all my stuff. And I thought, I can't really buy a bunch of flowers and be running. You'd just end up with like some stalks, wouldn't you? By the end, I'd be running and then...
You ran with just a rose in your teeth.
I could have done. Actually, I bought my wife some flowers a few weeks ago and I could have brought those... Well,
you could have,
but they were quite dead.
You could have stripped off the thorns and just popped them in your bum crack.
Yeah. But I didn't manage to run. I got up Notting Hill. I live in Shepherd's Bush, and I got up the Notting Hill. It was quite hard. So I walked the rest of the way. That still counts, right? I'm looking quite slim, aren't I? Tagline. Tom? No. Okay. What you're forgetting is the camera puts £10 on, so... I know you're looking at me directly, but there's four or five cameras... There's four or five cameras on me that have put £40 on me. I have to lose. I went to the doctors before Christmas.
Yeah.
And they weighed me and I was 97 kilograms, which is quite a lot even for me. I won't even dare. Yeah, people. Did you hear? There was like. I think
people
are going, how much is that? I don't know. I only work in stone. It's a lot. I've lost 7 kilos.
Yeah.
But they told me I was meant to be 72 kilos.
72?
Yeah.
What, for your height and age?
Height, eight, yeah. For the BMI, whatever that's called. Is that,
right.
Yeah, body mass index. But there's no way. I 4 or 5 years ago, I got down to about 84 kilos.
Yeah.
And I reckon I could have lost a bit, half a stone more.
Running, though, people say is not the best for losing weight.
No.
In fact, a lot of exercise... I've got a friend who was saying the other day, oh, no, I don't exercise, especially if you want to lose weight. That's the last thing you want to do. because you put on weight. You build up a lot of fat and muscle doing that. And the best thing I ever did was stop playing badminton. Then the weight fell off.
So, but you sort of become weak.
Yeah.
That's all, your muscles.
And when you tell people that you run as well, because I'm trying to go running as well, and they, first of all, after they've given you a look like, well, presumably you've just started.
Yeah.
Then they also say, it's very bad for your knees.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe you might get a bit fitter in your 40s, but you'll be in a wheelchair by the time you're 55. So, have you thought about that? Everyone's desperate to tell you how bad your life is going to be.
It hasn't. I've been running for quite a long time, and I don't. It has never had any effect on my knees. And
really?
I've run while I've been quite fat. Mm-hmm. You know, now as well. I'm still running now, and I'm running 7 miles. When I'm usually, that's why I thought I could run in today, but I just got tired.
Yeah.
But I've been running sort of 7 miles. But my knees have all been so far I've been okay.
7 miles in a session.
Yeah.
Whoa. How long does that take you?
Like about 75
years.
Minutes.
No. minutes.
Yeah, but I used to be able to do it in 76 minutes 10 Ooh. Years ago. Wow. The same run. It's 6¾ miles, actually, the run I'm talking about, so it's nearly 7.
Wow. This is like an amazing sports program.
Yeah, it's given it.
two guys in peak physical condition discussing their amazing sport prowess.
You could do the triathlon with your bike, though, so you could go swimming, running, and then get
yeah.
on. I'd love to see you in a triathlon, an Ironman challenge.
Well, and folding it as well, that should be part of the challenge.
Yeah.
Because the first time I got it, it didn't even occur to me. You know, I took it out of the shop already constructed, as it were. And then I got to the train station, and I was like, oh, how do you undo it? And I had no clue.
Really?
No. And so, and you know, I wear stupid clothes anyway. I've got these kind of tight leggings, cycle leggings. I've got a big, bright yellow cycle hat and stuff. And I look like a turd. silly turd. But I look like even more of a turd because I got my bike. I don't even know how to take it apart. And people were sort of looking at me thinking, look at that dick. And then, to compound the dickishness, I then got the iPhone out and Googled how how to fold up a Brompton. So I found myself there on the concourse in my Dayglo stuff, watching a YouTube video of a guy folding up a Brompton. Shit.
And your phone's ringing.
It's my son.
Oh. Do you want to tell me? I can fill while you...
Sorry, I should have
turned
the ringer
off. You
can
take it if you like. I mean, if it's bad news, just... tell him to stop.
Frankie?
Ask him if he's got a question
I'm
for
doing
me.
A podcast. Can you hear the audience?
Not just a podcast. I'm doing Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre.
I'm doing Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. He's very famous, Frank. He's like one of
I've never heard of you either. I don't know who you are.
He's one of the godfathers of modern British comedy. I know he's much more successful than Stuart Lee. what are you doing? What was the reason for the call? Try and be quick. You're just calling to say hi?
Oh,
mate.
I love you, Daddy. I love you.
Listen, I can't tell you I love you because it would make me look weak. But I do, and I will see you later on tonight, okay? I'll give you a call on the train. We'll have a normal conversation. All right. Oh, okay, bye.
You said, can you just ring about 8 o'clock? Can you just, I'll be definitely doing it. Can you just ring me up? It's like you'd picked up the phone and where's that call that I was expecting?
He sounded a little
to
confused.
Make me look nice.
Yeah, that's right.
So, do you ever get confused with Adam Buxton, the footballer?
It started to happen on Twitter. Yeah,
because he's quite new. He's quite a new footballer,
right? So, do you know anything about him?
Well, I looked him up on Wikipedia because I was looking you up on Wikipedia, and two Adam Buxtons came out this time.
Yeah.
Last time it was just one. And I was glad about that because I've already talked to you, so it was nice to have someone else. Whilst predominantly a right-back football player, Buxton is a versatile defender capable of also playing left-back and centre-back. Not that vent. It's just at the back, isn't it? That's not that vest.
Yeah.
Can you go at the back? Yeah. Can you move over to the other side of the back? Yeah, I can do that. That can't be that. Can you play in the middle at the back? Yeah, I reckon I can do that. It's the same job, right? I just have to stop the ball going. Yeah. He plays for Wigan, but then he had a transfer to... He got transferred to Burton for a while, which isn't very good. And according to Wikipedia, he has had zero appearances for either team.
Oh.
He's got his list. It says professional appearances, Wigan 0, 0-0-0, Burton 0-0. He played once in an FA Cup game for Burton, but that doesn't count.
Someone tweeted me that he'd been sent off for being abusive.
Right.
So that made him sound a bit
more
exciting.
Do you think it's because people were going, you know, where's
Joe?
Yeah, Joe.
And I wonder what he looks like, though.
Yeah.
I bet he's great looking.
I hope he looks like you, but just slightly smaller. That's what I'm imagining, because he's younger. He's 21. Okay, well, there you go. So that's exciting that you've got a namesake. You are, you know, one step towards doing that Dave Gorman show.
Yes, absolutely. And a namesake who's involved in a world that I know nothing about or care nothing about, really, as well.
He'll probably, you know, rape someone. He probably will. Chances are.
He will, or he has.
Probably, he definitely hasn't.
He hasn't yet.
At some point, he probably will.
Yeah. Is
that
libelous?
And then it's going to be embarrassed. I don't think it is libelous to say someone will probably do something in the future. I don't think he can do that. It's not like some kind of... In something like Total Recall or something, they might be able to do...
Yeah.
One of those Inception or something, they might be able to do that. But I don't think you can say, I think that man will commit a crime. Probably. I mean, I don't think he... Not definitely. It's just statistically, he's a professional footballer. He plays for teams in the north. So...
Wow. That's racist, isn't it?
I am one, so I'm allowed to say that.
Oh, okay.
I was born in Yorkshire, so I'm allowed to say that. He definitely hasn't done that, and Rolf Harris hasn't done anything either.
There's no mention,
so...
Yeah. I was on Rolf Harris's website the other day.
Yeah.
Don't know why. I just wanted to see some good art. And there was no mention in the news section about any of the... it's a shame. They've got to keep it updated.
Oh, I don't want to forget this. This is a thing I did a bit in the last series of dirtybritcomconfessions.com. Have you seen this website?
No.
It is comedy fans. Uh-huh. Like, you know, some of them might very well be in this room right now.
Oh, yeah.
Who write their sexual fantasies about comedians.
Wow.
I was surprised. I thought you would have loads of entries because I thought you would be kind of, you know, attract a lot of male and female obsessive sexual behaviour.
Nothing.
But there's a few. You had four. I'm going to read you a couple of them. They're mainly catchphrase based, which I quite like about this. I fantasize about having a threesome. This isn't me, this is on the thing.
Yeah.
I fantasize about having a threesome with Adam and Joe. We simultaneously shout Stephen as we climax.
Wow.
So that's not just you've all got to climax simultaneously.
Sure.
But as you're doing it, which would be a wonderful thing to see, and also just quite a hard thing to array. I mean, just the logistics of making. I think if you were at one end of
the
someone, say a man or a woman,
that's the word for
it.
The logistics.
And Joe was at the other end. You were looking at each other. I think that would. I don't think you'd be. Would you be able to egg each other on to, you know, go? Yeah, I'm 5 seconds, Joe. I'm 5 seconds away. Or do you think you'd have to look away from each other as you were?
Let me think about it. I think it would be awkward.
Yeah.
On balance, I think it would be awkward, but I'm sure we could do it.
You'd be able to orgasm simultaneously. I mean, I think you could.
How does it work in porn, though? Is there one guy who, presumably, there's one guy who's just going to do his best to get there, and the other guys have to sort of hold themselves back as long as they can, and then they're skilled in
tipping
themselves
like
over the edge?
Like a Christopher Chattaway figure.
Because it is
running right with Roger Bannister. This is quite an obscure reference. I think I've got his name right. The guy who was a pacemaker, like a pacemaker for Roger Bannister.
Yeah.
Christopher Chattaway. He'd be just wanking away furiously trying to come.
That's right.
And Roger Bannister, not actually Roger Bannister, they're both dead. The Roger Bannister one would be using that to help him.
No, and he'd be nearly there. He'd be nearly there, and all it would take would be like one, two, and you're off. There you go. Finish off.
Yeah. So do you think you and Joe would achieve that with this? I've had a photo of them. You might be able to ascertain. I don't know who it is.
Oh, I'm not worried. I mean, it's
no
anyone's welcome.
Did you and Joe ever share a lover together on those heady days in the 90s?
No, not really. I mean,
not at the same time.
I'm trying to think. No, it wasn't that kind of relationship. At all. I mean, I wish it was, but no, he was never into that kind of thing.
But you were well up for it.
Sure, I'm an explorer, an adventurer.
Okay, this is the second one.
Yeah,
they are good value. These I've developed a thing for Dr. Buckles himself, Mr. Adam Buxton.
It's very respectful.
It is respectful.
Yeah. Before the torrent of filth starts blowing.
I imagine we'd have really rough sex.
Uh-huh.
And at the climax, he'd shout, "I'm coming, Usson." Is that a reference to...
Oh, that's the thing from Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
Yeah.
Usutin.
It actually says I'm cumin or sutton. I'm cumin.
I'm cumin or sutton.
Anyway, you would climb. You would shout, just you on your own. There's no simultaneous shouting.
Yeah.
So loud that the neighbours would be forced to have a cigarette.
Wow.
Does that mean they... Because that cigarette doesn't stop the sound. Does that mean they go outside to have a... You wouldn't go outside of your own house to have a cigarette, though, would you? So
no.
It's an odd... You'd think they would, you know, be forced to put the TV up louder or something. It'd be too late.
No, because they're having a cigarette because they've experienced the ecstasy.
Oh, because it's so... Oh, I see. Yeah, you're right.
It's transferred to them, and now they feel the need to come down after it.
Yeah. And now you have just shouted, I'm coming on sudden. They'll be able to use that.
Has become my catchphrase, saying... Yeah. Or sutin, like someone else's badly spelt YouTube comment is now my catchphrase.
And I'll read you one more, and then we'll move on. I want to ride Adam Buxton all day.
Yeah. Quite right.
Then make him tea and sandwiches so he will sing something funny to me.
Wow. See, that one's nice because it seems a little more sincere.
I think it sounds like I'm going to ride. Someone's going to basically bum you all day. And
bum
then,
me? Ride me?
Ride you. I suppose they could, you know. I think it's a man who's going to ride you. And I suppose they're riding you. You are right. Again, you're right. You haven't been married for 2 years. I've forgotten how to do sex. I'm going to ride. Yeah, so it could be a lady riding. I was imagining a man sort of...
Because if you're bumming someone, that is in no way riding them. Because you would slip right out. Or off. You know what I mean? Sorry, I'm trying to be...
You're right.
I'm trying to be practical about this.
You're right. So you're being ridden. You could still be ridden by a man, though. You could be lying down.
Yeah.
And he could be...
He could ride me like a horse without it being anything sexual.
Yeah. But it's nice then that it makes you tea and sandwiches. But that's very he only nice. Does that so you'll sing a funny song.
If I'll sing a funny song, that's totally doable.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's nice to actually have someone that I can fix up with these people. Yeah. Maybe we should... And those people are here in the room right now. They'll come up and make those come true.
It's nice to be in other people's thoughts.
It is enjoyable.
Yeah.
I think it used to happen to me. So, once upon a time, I've got about four in there as well, but there aren't any new ones. Even though I've mentioned in the podcast, no one's going, yeah, I'll come pulling up for Rich.
No. Come on, guys.
And so tell me about the donkey hottie that someone asked me to ask you about. Is this an invention that you've come up with?
Well, it was, I was on a Radio 4 show called Chain Reaction. And it's like a tag team interview thing.
Yeah.
So the week's previous guest interviews the next week's guest. I'm not explaining it well. Anyway, I was interviewed by Graham Linehan because Neil Innes had interviewed Graham the week before.
Okay.
You get it. Graham, you know Graham, right?
I do.
And so he is just a font of incredible techniques for being creative and successful. Which clearly he has put to good use, because he is both those things in abundance. So I just felt sort of embarrassed talking to him, because I'm kind of the opposite. I haven't got any techniques for doing any of those things. I'm just shambling through. And it turned out that the only... And I was saying to him that I'm kind of taking, not a year off, but I'm trying different things this year, stepping back from my regular gigs. And he was saying, how's that going? And I was like, yeah, good, good. My daughter got a hot water bottle shaped like a fluffy donkey, and I thought they were missing a trick not calling it Donkey Hottie.
Yeah.
So I'm pleased with the way the year's going. I'm pretty excited about it. So that was that, really. Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's good. Because I keep on trying to think of things to take to Dragon's Den that would be a bit unusual. That might be quite good.
Well, I mean, it's not just the name of it, though. I've got to get together with the people who actually manufactured it.
Just make your own, make a slightly different donkey.
That's a good point.
They don't have to give them a penny.
That's a good point.
They don't own the idea of a hot water bottle in the shape of a donkey.
Yes.
They just own the hot water bottle in the shape of that donkey.
There you go. Okay, well, that's the rest of my year sorted.
You could get together with Walt Disney and you get Eeyore. No, that would make it confusing.
But I was thinking,
Eeyore Hottie.
It's fair enough, that kind of joke plays on Radio 4, but, like, what about the whole... Is everyone going to really enjoy that joke? In Sainsbury's, are they going to be doing a little Donkey Hottie...
You only need a certain...
I'm not saying that you have to be a Radio 4 listener to get that joke, but it's not like, yay, there's loads of Cervantes fans going out there waiting for some funnily named hot water bottle product. I don't know, maybe there are.
I was trying to think of a Sancho Panza. Sanitary towels. Panzo. Yeah.
Something pants. Something pants based.
Yeah, pants.
Let's brainstorm after the,
the podcast. This is the time to brainstorm. We need an emergency question desperately at this point. There is a new emergency question that has arrived. You've had most of them.
Is it the finger?
Yeah, it is. But I'm gonna ask the question. I think we should just ask about the finger, what you would do. But I'm going to go old school and ask the proper question.
Yeah.
Would you rather have a tit that dispensed talcum powder or a finger that could travel through time? And then I think you're bound to choose the finger, and then we can discuss what... Because I should just ask, if you had a finger that could travel through time, what would you do? That's an alternate thing. But let's answer that first, because you're obviously going to choose the finger that traveled through time.
Well, I probably would, because obviously time travel, that's a big deal. But...
The tit out.
I like the thing because it's weird though, isn't it? It's like a big puff ball, one of those puff ball things. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah, what the
things that grow in nature.
Oh no, I haven't. No, I thought you meant like
they're like a weird fungusy type thing. Right. They used to have them in Wales where I grew up, and I'm not making this up.
Yeah, are you thinking of the Triffids from the 1980s TV show, the Triffids?
I mean, they looked like. Like half deflated leather footballs.
Okay.
And if you pounded on them, this puff of spores would come out. And so that's what I was imagining when you were talking about that.
For something from Narnia or something. Yeah. Edwin or whatever his naming goes in and does that probably. It sounds like something would happen in Narnia.
Edmund. Yeah. Sorry, just get you straight on that. Sorry. I'm pedantic.
You've probably read them more recently
about my
than
Narnia
I have.
Stuff. Yeah, I'm reading them at the moment. But that would be fun to. But I don't think I don't need talcum powder.
No, all your kids are beyond nappies now.
Yeah, don't think we ever used talcum powder.
You could
too
do
much.
That onto your own child's now clean anus. That'd be so you could do it for other people if you had it and you were sort of in Starbucks or something and saw someone going into the toilet to change a nappy.
Sure,
you could just wrap on the door. And then
that would be good.
It's a superhero. Would you mind if I just have to take my shirt up? Don't worry.
That would be a fun way to meet young mums. And endear yourself to them.
It would. They would like. They
save
would be
them
creeped
a bit of money. But so that would be good. I mean, that's exciting. But obviously, time traveling, that's even more exciting.
Yeah.
But what's the. Like, if you. How can you see what the. Have you got a monitor to see what the.
I think you just.
Finger
you'd
is
be
doing
able to
in
look
time?
Through. You'd be able to look through the wormhole that your finger was going through, but no more than that. So,
have you read the Philip Pullman books, The Subtle Knife and all that? Right.
Yeah.
So it's like using the subtle knife to cut a doorway into another dimension.
Yeah.
Except
but you just poke your finger
you
through.
You can only get your finger
go
through.
Go thing in. But there'd be some way, I don't know how it works, that you be able to put the coordinates in. So your finger could go anywhere in time and space. It would be like a TARDIS of... time in that sense.
Oh man, you could
so you wouldn't just be going I put my finger through and my finger is in the Leicester Square Theatre in 1974 and someone's on stage now going what's that finger doing there. It would be I could go I'm going through to 1066 saved you King Harold and then you
and
back.
In 1066 they would just see a finger hovering in space. Right.
Yeah.
They wouldn't see your face behind it in a square.
I reckon they might be. I think it would only be one way. Realistically, it would be ridiculous if they could look back. I think you could just, around the finger, you'd just be able to see enough to, you know, you could dial a phone. There's all sorts of things you could do with it, you know.
Dial a phone and then do what? Just let it ring. you could do lots of bad things. You could press the button.
Put it on speakerphone.
Put it on speakerphone.
But that would only probably be from the 1980s onwards. You wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be.
You could press a nuclear button, couldn't you?
You could.
You do lots of bad things, but could you do, like, for example, if you wanted to stop a nuclear button being pressed, you could push the person's finger away. Every time that they got near. I don't know what's happening, but every time I try to push the button, the disembodied finger pushes my finger away from the button. Is there something that can be done about this?
I reckon they must have something in nuclear facilities to deal with that. They've got to be prepared for every eventuality. They'll just have some scissors or something. Get the shears.
You got the key codes locked in separate boxes.
Yeah.
And then you've got the stick for pushing away the disembodied finger that's come from...
What
the
part
future.
Of history did this happen, though, that someone pushed a button and let off? There has to be something. I suppose you go in the future. So you could travel forwards. I hadn't thought of that.
No, do some amazing things. Did anyone ever launch nuclear missiles?
Not in anger.
No. They were always dropped
just
for laughs. Or what about the bombs being dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
Yeah, they were dropped.
I mean, you could push them.
You could hold them
into
up.
Into the sea, yeah.
If you had a strong enough finger.
Exactly.
They could drop them, then just hold them. And then
or you could disarm them as they're falling really quickly. If you'd practiced for weeks before. That would be exciting, come on. Practice the manoeuvre, that would make an exciting film.
It's called Time Finger.
Yeah, Time Finger. I don't understand why Joe's doing so well in the film. Well, I've got lots of good stuff. Time Finger.
I'll ask you a question from Ben Evans. Not that one. Oh, he is that one. This is the only one. They aren't very good questions. We're not going to get you admitting you've committed suicide over this. Will there be another TV series of Bug? It is very good.
Oh,
that's not a question, that's a statement. That's the second statement. Bit. We do not ask for statements from Ben, just questions. It was good, I agree with that.
Thanks, man. I mean, I was really happy with it, and it was one of those situations where everything seemed to be going in the right direction. I was thinking, Jesus, I might get a second series for the second time in my life. Me and Joe did four series of our show years ago. But at the 11th hour, after, you know, it was, I don't know if you, I imagine you've been in this position as well, but you have these conversations with broadcasters where everything seems to be going so well, and they're saying, so listen, the next series, what about doing longer shows? And all of this kind of stuff. And they're sort of chatting about we were thinking maybe you should move to London because you're going to be so busy here. And what are you doing for the next 2 years? And all this kind of talk, you know what I mean? And then the phone goes quiet for a week. And then the next thing you hear is like, oh, no, we're not going to do it. We decided not to do it. Now, they changed all the, on Sky Atlantic, they kind of rebranded. It was one of those rebranding situations.
Yeah.
They were producing original UK entertainment shows, of which ours was one. It wasn't really a straight-ahead comedy show. And they just decided not to do any more of those.
Right.
They were just going to do, like, original narrative comedy, and we didn't really fit into that. So if a rich broadcaster is listening, if you ask nicely, we might do it for you. It's a solid gold show.
I think the broadcasters listen to this and then they just go, that was good, wasn't it? Should we get Alan Davis to do that on television? I think that's how it works. I find they don't, you know, they do, they're enthusiastic and then nothing happens.
Right.
So you just have to work out from the length of time, 5 years has passed since they said they were going to do that. Maybe that's not happening now.
Yeah.
I'll move back to Norwich. Yeah. I'd move to London. I'll ask you another of Ben's questions. I came close to making him sad enough to admit something.
I mean, listen, when they told me it wasn't going to happen, I thought about killing myself. I thought what it would be like to be dead. And that's as far as I got. I can't pretend that I did anything.
That's still pretty good. We can get that in the paper.
Yeah.
What was being in the IT crowd or the IT crowd like? What was it like?
What was it similar to?
It was
like being frightened because you think that the girl that you've slept with is a ghost. That's what it was like.
Yeah.
And we tried to recreate that as close as possible, so that it was as much like that as could possibly be filmed by cameras. It was good fun.
Yeah.
And my audition for that was just to scream. Graham said, I just want you to... Graham Linehan, this is, said, I just want you to scream as hysterically and pathetically as you can. And he said that I surprised him by... how convincingly I managed to do, like, hysteria.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good fun. And I had to... I had a beard anyway, and I shaved it into quite a repulsive little goatee thing. And then... but then I shaved it off, and I had to go back and do the studio bits. I completely forgot about that. And so they glued this ridiculous version... of like a fake one. So if you ever see that, you'll see that the bits in the restaurant when I'm with Jen, I've suddenly got a very odd moustache.
Oh, we'll look out for that. That is good.
Yeah, fun fact.
And he's done quite well. It's created a different tone, hasn't it? So sort of boredom. what is your favourite song by David Bowie?
Oh, Jesus, that's a big question. Yeah. I mean... the default answer I have is Ashes to Ashes, because I think it's one of the best songs ever. Mm-hmm. Also, I'd be happy if that was played at my funeral. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's appropriate.
It is.
And it's amazing. It blows my mind whenever I hear it. But I do like, I mean, these sound like obvious answers. I think Space Oddity is amazing. Mm-hmm. And when he did that, you know, it was derided as a novelty song by his... producer and workmates, but that is. Have you got a favorite Bowie song?
I don't really like
you're
him
not
that
really
much.
You've got weird musical taste.
I do. I've got into him a bit more. I wasn't never really into music at all. And what was I listening to the other day? Starman just when I was running, Starman came on.
Yeah,
and I really enjoyed that. But then partly because I've seen the Crankies do it.
Yeah,
and every time I hear it, I think of the Crankies doing it, and it makes me very happy.
I mean, I do. Yeah, it's good. He's got so many good songs though, and
they are very good. But I like that era.
I was singing one yesterday. A friend of mine was around, who's also a Bowie fan, and we had Saturday night. We had wine and sang the whole of Hunky Dory together. Mm-hmm. That was pretty amazing. And he's learned the guitar solo for Eight Line Poem, Rich. And he's just nailed it. And it was like watching a sporting event. It's this really slow, lovely, bluesy solo. And every single bit he got exactly right. We were just great! We were cheering every time he did it. And then Sunday we sang a song called Right On Mother, quite an obscure early Bowie demo. Which we ended up recording it. It was good use of 5 hours, I would say. We did it. We led it all up, piano and backing vocals, hand claps.
Well, I'd forgotten, in fact...
that's what I'm doing with my
year. This is a good one.
It's going pretty well.
You should put that stuff out. People would buy that.
I don't think they would.
They definitely would. I'd forgotten at Christmas, the snowman came on, and my nephew, who's now like 30, used to watch that all the time when he was a kid, and I think they showed different versions of it, but the original version of the snowman...
It's got the David
intro. David Bowie is in a... It goes into an attic and picks up a scarf, goes, I remember when...
That's right.
The snowman gave me this. And so the little boy in the snowman is David Bowie. Don't you think that's a bit mind-blowing? That is so in that cartoon.
That's right, you're right. Yeah, I never thought about that.
Yeah, so all the way, as you're watching The Snowman, that is David Bowie as a child there.
Yes.
Which explains why he turned out so weird, didn't he, with all this. That is...
Yeah.
That he went... And if you watch the whole thing and imagine it's David Bowie all the way through, it's so entertaining when he's dancing with all the snowmen in the North Pole and he's really happy.
Well, this is my next 4 weeks figured out now. Yeah. I'm going to go and revoice the entire thing.
Exactly. Well, I thought there was something you could do with this, definitely.
With David doing the voice of the small boy. Wow, that's fantastic. And he looked lovely, though. That was when I was sort of one of my favourite Bowie periods was early 80s when his hair was all bleached and he'd just done or he was about to do Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence.
Yes. It's so weird because I don't think they've shown it for a long time with that on the front, and it's so weird to see it because it does just... It gives a sort of sense of menace to the whole thing, I think.
Yeah.
That wasn't there before.
Sexy menace.
It changes it to a very different thing. So, yes, do something. I was going to say, do one of your funny things with that.
Thanks very much. I will.
Yeah, we'll do something with it. Yeah. And let's see what else. How do you feel about Jack White? Also had quite a good idea recently, which is getting his dad on his TV show, and he's got quite a fusty, old fashioned dad, and who doesn't understand popular culture.
Oh, and he's an old posh guy, and imagine how funny it would be if you juxtapose the old posh guy.
Yeah.
With groovy youngsters and guests. Yeah, and
it'd be funny, I think.
I think it would be awful. I think it would be embarrassing. No, I mean, you know, it's my dad could never have done that kind of thing, though, I don't think. It would have been too... because he's a theatrical agent, Jack Whitehall's dad, I think.
I thought you were going to say your dad was, and they go, that's a coincidence. So it's Jack Whitehall's dad. Is that how everyone gets... Because Harry Potter's mum's a theatrical agent as well.
Is she?
Yeah, old... what's his face?
Right,
Daniel Radcliffe. Not the character. He doesn't
Daniel Radcliffe, yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe, yeah.
Ah, there you go.
That's how you get on in show.
You need
business.
An agent in the family, sure. That's very useful. But no, my dad, he's not that much of a pro. I mean, our show was very much for real. It was very gritty. He's 90 this year, my dad.
No way.
Yeah, in May.
Wow.
90th birthday. We're all going around to celebrate.
That's brilliant.
Push him around. and he's still going strong, relatively strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he must have been quite a nice. So he was in his 50s, was he? When you're in 40s when he had you, late 40s?
Yeah.
Well, that gives me hope.
Yeah, definitely. Would you ever have children?
I would like to have children.
Yeah.
God has not blessed me yet with that.
Yeah. Have you tried? This is going to get like Mark Maron's podcast. We'll get really serious now.
Have I tried? How do I try? I thought they just
You have to apply.
Okay.
For one.
I'll look into it.
You have to go through a number of vetting procedures to see if you're... none of which you would make it
did
past.
You when you were a child and your dad was quite old, I would imagine, in the sort of 70s and compared to the other kids.
Well, dads. No, I thought my dad was normal and everyone else just had silly parents. I genuinely thought like that. Wow, your dad, he's like a teenager. I mean, how can you take him seriously? Look at your mum. I could snog her. She's not like a proper old woman mum. Like my one. That's what you want. You want like proper authority figures who've seen something and done something in their lives.
That's true.
Who are just stupid people. Young people. I mean, that's what I feel like. I'm not especially young. I'm sort of, I guess, a normalish age for a boy of 12. And also, I'm quite silly. I feel sorry for him. I feel as if I should be more grown up. You know what I mean? And I obviously I could, if I wanted to, dress in a more sensible way every time I go and pick him up from school or whatever. Yeah. But I just never get around to it. And then when I when I get there, I always feel bad for him. Like, oh, look, your dad's stupid.
I think it must be nice. I mean, Ross Noble was talking about his kids as well, and I think he must be like an amazing dad to have.
Right.
Don't you think? I mean, he's just, it must be great having a funny, nutty, fun dad.
Well, my daughter, who's 5, had some friends round on the weekend, and when they turned up, she suddenly got really overexcited and grabbed them, and suddenly... She just said to them, come here, come here, come and look at my dad, come and look at my dad. So she grabbed them and she said, my dad is so funny, he does a voice of a dog. Do it, Dad, do the voice of the dog. So I had to talk. We've got a dog now, and when I'm saying what the dog thinks, you know, I do the voice of the dog.
Yeah.
Can't talk like this. It's like, oh, dear. Oh, dear, I've done a poo. I'm gonna lick it up. So I was like being forced to do the dog voice, and there was no way I could back out of it. It was not like, come on, darling, I'm a little bit more mature than that. I won't be doing the voice. But you two have a good time. Have lots of fun. Are you going to watch it? No, I'm not going to do the voice. So yeah, I had to do it.
But that's great. I mean, you know, while they're little, and then when they're teenagers, they'll.
Yeah.
Then
yes, exactly. She won't talk to me, and she'll be hideously embarrassed. And,
That's probably why I'm not going to have kids. I think it's good to leave it late, and then I reckon I don't think I'd be like your dad. I think I'd die in my probably early 60s.
You reckon?
So if I have a kid now,
yeah.
I can have all the fun of them being a little kid, and then when they get to that annoying teenage stage, I'll just die.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I won't have to put up with that. So I'm just trying to get the timing exactly right for that, so that I don't have to put up with. I think I can't.
You
see
never
any.
Know, though. I mean, I got it into my head that my dad was going to die when I was little as well.
Yeah.
I just thought he's not going to make it beyond, you know, 65 or whatever.
Yeah.
But he did. I used to really worry every time he went away. You know what I mean? Did you ever get that? I was really anxious, like, because he used to travel a lot, and yeah. every single time he went, I was like, he's going to die now. He's going to get in a plane crash and everything would be, you know, we'd be, I remember dropping him off at the airport once and every song that came on seemed to be a kind of, you know, foretelling some tragedy. Yeah, yeah. And I was literally just going to say to him, like, please don't go! But I managed to hold myself back. He was fine,
yeah.
obviously.
Yeah.
He's still alive.
He will die one day, though.
Yeah.
Just because you're getting a bit complacent about
that's
it.
Technically,
it's like, I don't want you to be surprised when it happens.
Yeah, I know. That's technically true, isn't it?
Probably in the next 20 years.
Is your dad alive?
He is still alive. But he's getting, you know, he's I keep on thinking, in my mind, my dad is 46.
Yeah.
But I'm 46. So that can't, that, but then, and then I don't look at, you know, when I go home, I don't really look at him properly.
Yeah.
And then every now and again, I'll look at him and go, fuck. You probably couldn't pick me up and put me on your shoulders anymore. And he's like properly, you know, he's like, he's 77 or 78,
yeah.
something like that. 78 this year.
Spring chicken.
Yeah. But it's still like surprising, you know, that's just, then you suddenly go, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is
one day
like,
you won't
yeah.
always be there.
Yeah, I know.
That's weird, isn't it?
Horrible. Well, I'm doing a show about, my show's about death, so I'm we're all going to die. Go to richherring.com, check out the tour dates. On the Bloomsbury in May, if you want to come, London.
I've seen it. It's excellent.
Oh, you have seen it, yeah. That's yeah. why I got the flowers for.
That's right.
The funereal flowers that arrived. The wreath that arrived. Yeah, it's quite, it is, I think you think about it, it is interesting. I've lost a couple of family members in the last year, and it's, you know, it's... It is a difficult thing to cope with, and I can't even. My brother-in-law died just after Christmas, and we knew he was going to die.
Yeah,
but it's still, in my mind, I haven't really accepted it's happened because I saw him at Christmas.
Yeah,
he was sort of all right, and then just very quickly, he wasn't all right.
What are you like though with grief in general? Do you tend to defer, or do you immediately get very sad, or do you just man up? Is this too? Are we going
no,
too
no,
deep?
No, this is all right. Yeah. I think I have been deferring, and funnily enough, actually, because I did. My grandma died last year. She was 102, so that was kind of
yeah,
so
good
she'd had a good knock.
Yeah, yeah.
But I talked about her in the Love Show I did, and I watched the Love Show again because I was doing a show about love for meaning of life, and then actually watching that again, and there's a bit at the end where it plays her favourite bit of music, and that suddenly, I don't think I cried when she died, but I cried watching my own DVD. So maybe I can only emote through,
yeah,
like not even performing. Watching myself perform.
Yeah.
They go, oh, okay. Now I realise it's real.
You have so to do a show about it.
Yeah.
And then sit down nude late at night and watch it. And then it all comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Richard Curtis films do the same to me. They make
right.
that. Because I think I've said this before. When I watched Love Actually, one time, when I was quite depressed and I think, you know, going through a bit of a tough time in my life.
Yeah.
I was watching it and not enjoying it. But I'm obsessed with it. I can't stop watching it, but I don't really like it. But then I started crying at one point, not really because of anything in the film. And then I realised I couldn't stop crying.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I was going to cry forever.
Wow.
And I thought this was the moment that somehow Love Actually has set this off. So
yeah.
That was probably the last time I cried.
There's like, certain things that do push those buttons. And
yeah.
if you don't want them pushed,
yeah.
you can get very resentful. Like, maybe that's why you're hung up about yeah. that film.
Yeah, maybe.
Because
but literally, I was weeping and despondent.
Yeah. Wow. It is weird, though. Sometimes
don't
you
think that's what Richard Curtis was aiming for.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Which was the bit? The bit in the airport?
I can't even remember. No, it's sort of somewhere just... It was nothing particular.
Oh, the bit with Emma Thompson is
no,
very
no, it wasn't
sad.
Even that. It wasn't even a sad bit. It was just... I was so depressed that the film depressed me. Even more. I don't
Jesus.
Know what it was.
What were you like during The Boat That Rocked then?
I'd really like to get Richard Curtis on here. I've tried to ask to get on, and I'm a big fan of loads and loads of his
sure,
stuff.
Sure, he's amazing.
But I also have a massive problem with Well, certainly with
that's the mark of a genius, though, isn't it? Who's someone who's able to just be so wildly all over the place sometimes.
But the boat that rocked is kind of now, in the light of what's happened in the last couple of years, must take on a completely different view. If you watch it now,
that's true, isn't it?
Look at us all crazy guys,
big rapey,
rapey
DJ boat.
Come on, it's on fire.
Come on, we've got more teenage girls for the rapey DJ boat. Send him aboard! Wow, you could. Yeah. You could do a sort of Captain Phillips version of that. Rapey pirates and DJs and girls. Sorry, I'm thinking
good.
About it.
So, it's very hard to get away from that subject for some reason. What are you going to the America? You were just telling me in the dressing room and then you got interrupted. So, tell me about that.
Well,
if you're allowed to. Are you allowed to talk about
sure. No secrets of my life. Have you ever heard of the South by Southwest Festival?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In Austin, Texas.
Okay.
And it started out as a kind of boutique music festival with lots of groovy left-field bands playing. And now it's a big kind of industry shindig, and everyone says, oh, it's not as good as it used to be when it was just two guys on milk crates playing their blues guitars or whatever. But it's still, to me, seems incredibly exciting. I love America as well and always wanted to go to Austin because I think Texas, from what I understand, is kind of a big, pretty scary, right-wingy type place. But then Austin is this little groovy liberal enclave in the middle of it. And I like the sound of places like that. Also, one of my favorite bands, Spoon, spent a lot of time in Austin. They still record there. So it's the epicenter of a lot of things I'm really enthusiastic about. And I got the opportunity to go and do my show, Colonel Panic, my current kind of comedy live show there. But you have to get yourself out there. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they're flying you out. You have to fly yourself out. You have to figure out your own where you're going to stay and pay for all of that and everything. Yeah. So it's really quite a massive financial commitment for something that maybe four people will turn up to see. And and it's in the middle of the afternoon. It's like 12:30 on a Tuesday afternoon kind of thing. I'm doing it. But it just it's too exciting.
Have you got American fans?
I don't think. I mean, no one significant. There's the occasional expat maybe flying around, but there's a couple of there was. I think maybe on the Nerdist website, which is quite a big site. I think someone wrote something about me and Joe's radio show or the podcast. So little pockets, I think, are aware.
Because there are a lot of kind of Brit comedy fans out there, not like the Brit comedy fans that I've just been really some of them might be, but it could be a fantastic festival. But
generally I have to... I went out to New York a few years ago, 2010, and I did... I was doing some bug shows there, but I tried to do some of my own material as well in these little clubs, and at the last minute tried to book some gigs, and in the end the only thing I could say to explain who I was I was killed in Hot Fuzz by a church. And then they got excited, and I've got a photograph of like a chalkboard outside a little venue in downtown Manhattan with Adam in small letters, Adam Buxton from giant letters, Hot Fuzz. And so that's how they sold me there, and a few people, but they were mainly Brits, turned up to that, you know. And then there was another show that I had in a venue called The Creek in the Cave over the bridge, I think, just outside Manhattan, and turned up to do that, and it was just a small theater venue, very nice. I did my tech, plugged in my laptop and stuff, and had a half an hour to kill before the doors opened, and then went down to the bar and got talking to a really nice guy from Manchester there at the bar. And he was there to see the show, and we had a really nice chat, and so I was feeling really excited about it, and I looked at my watch, and I was like, Jesus, I'm on! So we ran upstairs and go into the venue, and it was empty. And so he and his girlfriend were the only people there. I mean, in a way, it's fair enough, because the gig had only been announced like the day before or something. I don't know what the fuck I was expecting. But I said to him, so what do you want to do then about the show? Do you want me to do it for you? Or? And he was like, "Well, if you don't mind, I paid for it." I was like, "Okay, You want the full hour? Or I mean, it really did feel like I was giving him a dirty massage. It was a very strange feeling. Have you ever done a show for two people?
I'm sure I must have done, yeah. There's definitely been like little gigs above pubs and stuff where six people have turned up or whatever. I'm sure in Edinburgh there must have been times.
Yeah. It was a very strange feeling.
Not in a foreign country. I don't think I've been abroad.
And yeah.
That's kind of even more. But then, you know, that's understandable though as well, isn't it?
Because exactly.
You're sort of starting from scratch. So is it literally just going to go and do that, or are you going to hang out in America
While I was, while I'm out there and paid for my flights out there, I thought I'd try and get some gigs elsewhere. Yeah, stop off in New York, go back and do one for maybe three people this time.
You never know.
And trying to get some gigs there. I think maybe I've got a slot at the UCB in New York, so that's exciting. And maybe do some shows in LA, I don't know, on the way back. But again, this is like...
Well, I've got a lot of fans out in the U.S.
Have you, yeah?
The U.S., the U states, I call it.
Have you done
states.
Shows out there?
No.
No.
No, I don't. Well, I think a couple of people know me out there. So, you know, this will probably help.
Yeah. So send me
if you get
ground.
More than two, you'll know. I just want to ask you one more thing, I think. Although, actually, I was looking to see whether you had any presence on Six Music anymore. You're not doing anything at all at the moment, are you?
I'm
Bowie documentary.
The Bowie doc, so yeah, things here and there. But I'm going to the first Six Music Festival in Manchester on the weekend of... When's this going out?
Next week, so the 24th-ish or something.
Yeah, the following... the weekend of the 1st of March.
Right.
And I think I'm co-hosting a show with Mark Riley, although he just texted me to say, I think Franz Ferdinand playing live are going to take up most of the shows if we can just drink.
Yes, oh, that sounds
good. And then I think I'm going to introduce the Wild Beasts on stage, and I'm supposed to be doing 20 minutes in one of their kind of talking venues. Okay. I thought I might dig out some old Russian animation poems for my character Pavel.
Yes, yeah.
I'm going to do that.
Oh, great. I was just looking. Liz Kershaw's still there, isn't she? Can't get rid of her. So
she is, she's the bedrock of that place. Is. Yeah, you can't remove amazing. One of the most important.
Did she know? She knows something, I think.
Yeah,
I think she definitely does. I never really got Liz Kershaw. Always followed, presumably also followed your show on the Saturday.
Yeah, she used to swish in and say, "All right, boys, how's it going?" And we were quite scared of her.
Yeah, I was a bit scared. I don't think she really liked me, and I know that I didn't really like her. So it was nice to see she's still there. The final question I wanted to ask you in your recent video, which you summed up last year. You had Miley Cyrus sitting on a wrecking ball made of human testicles.
Yeah.
Whose testicles were those?
Right.
Did you use your own testicles?
What kind of sick freak would take down their trousers and take an iPhone picture of their own testicles just to Photoshop it into a silly video about the year's YouTube moments?
I don't know.
No. Neither do I. What a disrespectful question. I mean, this is exactly the kind of behaviour that ruined your friendship with Stephen Merchant.
That's what got cut out of the last me asking about his testicles and where he's if he's ever taken a photo of them and stuck them in. So they're not your testicles.
Jesus.
Whose testicles are they?
Jesus Christ.
Did you have to get permission from whoever's testicles
obviously,
they were?
Obviously.
To use
those
them?
Leathery, hairy.
Someone will recognise them. Go, those are my testicles.
Yeah. See, of course you've got to clear all the nuts. Yeah. I've got a special nut clearance guy. He does all my nut clearance.
Terrific. Well, look, you've got to go to Liverpool Street on a bicycle. So I think we will have to wrap it up. Please give a big thank you to Adam Buxton, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
He's literally going.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me, man.
You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Adam Buxton. The music was by Pess. Listen to it. It's good and it's nice, isn't it? Thanks to Ian Tunes and Ian, British Comedy Guide. Thanks to Orange Mark at the British Comedy Guide. all the staff at the Leicester Square Theatre, and Chris Evans, not that one, or the one from The Avengers, not him either, and all of his Welsh cohorts. They are all Welsh. It was produced by Ben Walker. It's a Fuzz, Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato production for the internet. Go and buy some stuff. Thanks for listening. If my producer Ben says I garbled the Go Faster Stripe address at the beginning, if you would like to donate anything at all, you can go to gofasterstripe.com/RHMOL. It stands for Richard Herring's Meaning of Life, which is another podcast and another free video you can download. The first one should be out already at vimeo.com/channels/RHMOL. Just look at my website, there'll be a link on there. If you feel like giving some money, go to gofasterstripe.com/RHMOL. Or you can just go to Go Faster Stripe and buy the video of this fantastic podcast and all the other ones as well, if you like, from this series. There's loads more coming up. Oh, and by the way, you can see me on tour this coming week with my show, We're All Going to Die. I will be at Cheddar on the 27th of February, Wolverhampton on the 28th, and Bristol the next 2 days, the 1st and 2nd of March. I think Bristol might be sold out at the Colston Hall, but do check with the theatre. For returns, do check richardherring.com/WAGTD/tour for all the tour dates. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Tell your friends to listen as well. Go on. What do you mean you don't have any friends? Get a friend. Tell them.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.